Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So it's good to be here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio, Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we welcome each and every one of you. We welcome our LinkedIn connections, our Twitter followers, our Facebook friends, and our Blog Talk friends to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And then we have a question for you, as per usual, which is very necessary, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So that's what the gospel message is all about, that people would believe the gospel. So I know that the Bible is written in masculine gender, but when it says, except a man be born again, but what he is talking about, the human family. So when you're in Christ, neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, but everybody is one and the same in the body of Christ, because the members are the members of the body, and Christ is the head of the church, which is His body. So we're talking about the spiritual body once you have been born again. So we want you to know, as we know, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is the quote out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the church at Ephesus, which was one of the churches that St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, started this particular church. So he encouraged them, wrote this one of his prison epistles. They call one of his the Pauline epistles, which is one of his prison epistles that he wrote to the believers. And it also applies to us, letting them know who they were, their position, and encouraging them, and then also letting them know that there is only one God. And so that's why God's beef with Israel, or his art with Israel, whatever terminology you want to use, is they did not believe that the Christ came, or the Messiah, that he came. And he's actually Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. So the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So when you talk about the Son, you're talking about the office. He had to take on a body because God is a spirit, and a spirit can't shed blood. So he had to be the sacrifice. He had to be the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. So that's why he took on a body. And people that knew the law and knew the prophecy of the prophets and knew the Psalms, and you know, just like I said, they knew the law of Moses, all of these pointed toward the Messiah coming. So a lot of people get caught up in a lot of things, but he came. And then, like I said on last week, I believe, there is, what I'm told, between 6,000 and 7,000 languages in the world. So, you know, we have a book that's called Written to the Hebrews, and then a lot of people just like to make claim that he was just a God to the Hebrew Israelites. Initially, he came to the Israelites. We already read about that in St. John, the first chapter. But he came unto his own, as John writes, and his own received him not. So it wasn't just for them, but he actually died for the sin of the whole world. And so, and you have to get truth is generational truth. And then during the time of the earthly ministry of the Son of God, the Messiah, the God incarnate, Jesus, the Christ, they were still under the law. Sometimes we don't keep that in mind, but they were under the law. So he came, he changed that, and a lot of statements that he made, that's why the Pharisees did not like what he said. And he said, it hath been said of old, but three words he said, but I say. And so that's what they didn't like, because he could do that because who he was. And it was written of him to come on the scene and to substantiate who he was by the things that he done, the works that he done. It's like he said, you don't believe me, believe me for the very works sake. So that's why. And so John writes, he was in the world, just like I read in my intro. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's why he says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is John writing. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's why he was saying, John bear witness and cried. John bear witness to him and cried, which was a proclamation saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That's why he said, and of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. And then he goes on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So if you rewind a little bit, like I said a couple weeks ago, is that in between Malachi and Matthew, the scholars, the biblical scholars, they couldn't come up with nothing to say about that period of time, which is known as the 400 years of silence, when God didn't say no thing, as we say, nothing. He didn't say no thing. He didn't have to, because his prophetic word was going to come to pass. And then, so now, that's another thing. It's actually, people keep talking about the prophetic. The prophetic prophets were Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those were the prophetic prophets. So there is no prophetic today. They already wrote prophetically. So what is coming to pass? So actually, in the New Testament church, so somebody can give a word of knowledge. God can reveal things. Just like he said, let the prophet speak by two or three, let the others judge. What is he talking about? In the local church. So you're not going to have just one prophet, but he said, let them speak by two or three, and that by course. So in other words, anybody talking down nobody else. So God is not the author of confusion. That's what St. Paul was doing, setting the churches in order, because the Corinthian church was a very gifted church, but they were carnal because they had a lot of pride, and they were bragging on each other. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, which is Peter, and some says I'm of Christ. So in other words, can't nobody tell them nothing. So that's, we have people like that today. But we have to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. And the answer is in the Word of God, what is so important. So should you desire to call in on the day, you can. Our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So again, you're listening to Truth Ministry with your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on this particular venue. So we thank God that we're here on another day. So we're continuing. And so like I've been saying over the years, so I'd start using the theme, the Godhead, because there's only one God. There's no Trinity. That is a lie. The devil knows that that is a lie from the pit of hell. James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, plural, also believe and tremble. So that's, there's only one God. So God doesn't, he never stopped being God because he became a man. And he is what someone said, the everywhere, here, now, there God. He can leave you, come to you, and ain't gone nowhere. He's everywhere and every place. We can't figure him out. He's eternal. So we just better, it behooves us to believe him and obey his word so we can be with him throughout eternity, instead of taking the broad way, you know, take the straight and narrow way. Now, a lot of people talk the talk, and I don't understand people. Just because your father or your mother or your uncle or your grandfather was in church, what that got to do with you? You need to get yourself straight. And that's what Ezekiel, that's what he was saying. The prophet Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the son is not going to bear the iniquity of the father. The father is not going to bear the iniquity of the son. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. So it behooves us to get ourselves right. And it's not a dried out thing to walk with God, because it's not. What you need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of God. You need a fulfillment of Joel 2:28. The writer writes, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that's what people need. And I got it. And you can have it too. So it's not religion, but it's salvation. The devil is religion. Religious, he can sing, he can preach, he can pray, but he can't live holy. So you can't live, you can go through all the self-righteousness that you want, but you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. And it ain't no look on your face and some pious look and all of that, but it's having the Holy Ghost down in your soul could cause you to walk upright. And so you do what he say, and it's not a dry, dead thing that is making you sick, but it's joy, unlike you've never had before, because you actually have the King of Glory down in your soul. But I know, I've been out there, so I've been in here for like 41 years, the 11th of this month. August 11th, 1976 is when I came in. So yeah, I had some hard times. some hard trials, but I'm here by the grace of God. I'm alive. I got a mind to run on, as they say, to see what the end is going to be. So I'm glad about it. And so, you know, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And it is him. He started us out. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who started a good work. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we've been talking about here, we've been going through the book of St. John on the last few weeks, and we finished up, well, we didn't finish up, but we actually left off in the 8th chapter on last week, I believe, the 32nd verse was where we stopped at, so we're going to pick up, so we're still, I call this part 4 of the Only Believe series that we're doing here. And so these, you know, believe on the Son of God, the Messiah. His works prove who he is. And what's so really important, it is written. So we're just not talking off the top of our head, but we're giving you, and this is what Paul said. He said, none of the things that what Moses and the prophets and the Psalms did say concerning Christ. So that's what's so important. And that's what he said. You know, it is written. So when you get tempted by, everybody's going to have the wilderness experience. You know, so our wilderness experience, you're going to be tempted by the devil. So no surprise, you got to know what the word says. So you fight him with the word. And that's why he was talking about taking on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In that same Ephesian church, where we read out of the 4th chapter, he was saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Ephesians 6:10, I believe. So thing is, like, people say a lot of stuff that sounds good. You know, they like this song talking about, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus, and then all of this, and then my trials come to make me strong. And you know what? That's a lie. When you take a test, your trial is a test. When you take a test in school, you don't take a test to make you strong. That's stupid, with all capital letters. You take a test to see. The test is showing you where you are. Pop quiz and little titles that they use. You take a test to show where you are. So he didn't tell us that. He didn't give us things don't come against you or to try you to make you strong. That is the no bigger lie been told on that matter. But he told us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there ain't nothing you got to do but to do it. Same way he was saying, as it is written in the book of Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the only way you can do that is he's in you. You have a holy God living in your soul. So all you do is yield to him. So it's not a hard thing to do, not a look on your face and all that, looking down on other people and all that. That's foolishness. But it's your lifestyle that you live. And so I'm glad about it. I'm not sad. My head is on straight. So, because a lot of people are, you know, leaving here without the Lord, dying of cirrhosis of the liver and lung cancer, just all kinds of things that can, you know, mostly contribute to the lifestyle that they are living. And then the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. So again, should you desire to call in, you have a question, or you have you want to contribute to the subject that we're talking about, your a comment, you are welcome. The call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we're picking up where we left off. We actually got here in the 8th chapter St. John, dealing with the law of Moses, the woman that was taken in adultery, how they brought the woman to Jesus, talking about she was caught in the very act. They didn't bring the man, which is really stupid, because she didn't get caught doing nothing by herself. And see, that's another thing. Like people, I've noticed, especially you be on Periscope, especially, and people, they have people that do relationship, you know, to help couples. There's people that do things, and they'll get questions that people will type questions in. So I don't know why. Even on Facebook, you can see it. People ask, why do men cheat? Well, I think that's a ridiculous question because individuals cheat. Because if a man is cheating or a woman is cheating, they're not cheating by themselves. So it's a choice that they make, and everybody is an individual, and you make choices. So that's why even that's going to be determined where you're going to spend eternity is because of the choices that you make. So everybody has a choice. You can do what you want. You know, I'd rather get people could, and nobody going to be laughing, you know, in the lake of fire. Nobody. Ain't going to be no circus going on like it is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now. That kind of garbage. Ain't nobody going to get away. You know, it was because of him. She said this. He said that. No. God hate lying lips. They're abomination. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So that's in the book of Proverbs, I believe, 12 and 22. So God is not playing. So this is what we are trying to help people with the gospel message, and we have technology where we're able to reach out to people because everybody can't make it, may not be able to make it to as what we call the church house or the building because people work. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You don't want to be lost. Whatever your reason is, why you don't serve him like you should is not going to be good enough to keep you out of the fire. So you get yourself right. So even in prison, I did prison ministry for 20 years. 18 of those 20 years that I did prison ministry, I did ministry in women in the women's prison. Because what happened when I started off, we were in the men's facility when I was in Michigan. So I just relocated almost the end of last year, relocated to another state, the state of Florida, actually. And so in Michigan, I did the prison ministry, and we got the news that they were going to change the men's facilities to women's prisons. And so we saw that as an opportunity to get some of the ministers and sisters at our church into the women's prison to minister to the women. And so what happened was, so we, because, you know, the thought of, like, ministering to women inmate is like something that we never had done before, and we were kind of afraid of it, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so what happened, we got them in, and then they gave us a Sunday also because we, you know, pretty much went on Sundays. So we ended up ministering to women. So I've seen all kinds of people, women locked up. I've seen preachers' daughters. I've seen various type of people locked up in prison, and a lot of times because people hanging out with the wrong crowd, like they say, association bring about assimilation, that's a saying. There's actually a scripture, be not deceived, it's in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manner. So we know that conversation, different words have to do with our lifestyle. So you hanging around people, somebody's going to change somebody else. They're going to influence someone else to cause you to walk like they do. So that's what I taught my sons. I have all sons. I have adult sons now. And I taught them, you need to get away from people. You see somebody doing something crazy or talking about it, get away from them. You don't want to end up locked up. And so that's because that's exactly what I had to do, because you got to take care of yourself. So the same way, even in the church, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we're moving on here today in our lesson. So like it ended up here, and he was letting them know all of the people, all of the men who bought this woman taken in adultery to Jesus, and he stooped and wrote on the ground, and they, you know, some think that it probably was out of the law what he wrote out of the book of Leviticus about thou shalt not commit adultery and how you'd bring them, you, the witnesses and all that you would do. And so they were convicted of their own conscience, and they went out, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Two questions, back to back. And then so she goes on here to say, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then so he let them know he's the light of the world. He that followeth him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he's just letting, authenticating himself, which a lot he's doing. That's what this book is. This book is talking about a divine God, the book of St. John. So he goes on here. So we ended up, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, you know, he was saying, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We be born Abraham's seed, were never in bondage. And so this is what the Jews are telling him. To any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So it's amazing how people do. They hear what they want to hear. So even like in the book of the Revelation, those three chapters, and the church age and what he was talking about, and them, you know, the repenting, and the third chapter in the 20th verse, he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man open, hear my voice, open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So he's knocking right now. And see, actually, the quote out of the Old Testament in the 95th Psalm, when he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So what is that referring back to? Israel. They didn't believe. And so the worst sin in the world, if you heard me say it, it's in there. They had a hard heart. And then the Hebrew writer says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So that's why he was saying about having an evil heart of unbelief in the book of Hebrews in departing from the living God. So all you got to do is just have an evil heart of unbelief and don't believe, you're in the same state that Israel was. So that's not good. But we, you know, only believe, and that's what we are endeavoring to encourage you to do. So he says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. So that ETH on the end of that, committeth. So that means you, continually. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. So it's like too many times they were saying some people do things and they continually do them if they don't get caught. So like these, you know, folks robbing banks and things that people do, or murderers, things people do and they don't get caught, they continue to do. Like I said, there's a monkey on their back. So you could get that off. So you don't want to be, because people are going to get paid. Everybody's going to get paid. You read in the 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, he's talking about these people, you know, they feast at you and their eyes are full of adultery and the way of darkness is reserved forever. And they're going to receive the wages, you know, a reward of unrighteousness. I mean, who in their right mind want a reward of unrighteousness? That is you out of your mind. That's insane to want that kind of reward. Because ain't nobody, and I've said it. I said this when I was in teaching in the women's prison and preaching in the women's prison, that people say things, they don't even know what they're saying. For instance, hell yeah or hell yes, what people used to say. I say, nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. I believe it's Matthew 25 and 41. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was even made for man. But people are going to go there because they're doing their own thing. And so your own way can get you lost. Because I remember an old man many years ago, when I first graduated from high school, was working. There's three ways to do a thing, the right way, the wrong way, and my way. No, there's really two ways to do a thing, the right way and the wrong way. Because, I mean, my way could be the wrong way, too. It could be the right way, but then, so that means there's still only two ways, the right way and the wrong way. So that's, you know, just rhetoric that people come up with. So if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. This is the Master still speaking. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now listen to this statement. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. And now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, that blows my mind right there, that statement that they just made. What do you mean? That was their conscience. We be not born of fornication. He didn't say nothing about that in this particular conversation. What he said was, you do the deeds of your father. And then so he goes on here. He said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither I came out of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Then he goes on to get right to, like as B.F. Goodrich used to say, where the rubber meets the road. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? He answered his own question. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Case in point, he's not talking about the grave, you dying, but he is talking about the second death. So the second death is the soulish death. Everybody's going to die. The Lord tarries. Everyone's going to die a physical death. But the soul, remember now, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what the gospel is all about. So you don't want to die. The soulish death is that you're going to be tormented forever. And see, people don't understand that. You could dream. You can go to sleep and dream you're somewhere. Or many people have had a bad dream, and I know I've had them. And I mean, sometimes you just have to ask the Lord to cover your thoughts with his blood when you go to sleep sometimes, because some crazy stuff you have never thought of, you can dream. And that is your flesh, is what it is. Your worst enemy is yourself. That's why Paul was talking about, when I would do good, evil is present, in the 7th chapter of Romans, when he was writing to the church at Rome, who incidentally, were believers. They were already born again. But what he's talking about is your flesh. So our flesh, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So our worst enemy is not the devil. Our worst enemy is the flesh. So we got to, that's why he said, I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9:26, and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means I preach to others that I myself be a castaway. So we have to take care of ourselves. So he goes on here, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. You do dishonor me, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. So this is where I'm getting back here where I was. So the second death. So that's what some people, there's actually so-called religions where they, you know, I remember one time, it was in the early 2000s, one of my sister-in-laws, my late wife's sister, passed. So this so-called Israel and his army, they're crazy. And I said it, I ain't taking it back. That's a lie. Like I said, mere religion ain't going to save you. They do all kinds of things. So the guy at her service, he said, he read this scripture right here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And so he pointed at her and said, this is of the devil. See, that's stupidity right there. He's ignorant, because the whole point is he's not talking about the physical death. He's talking about the soulish death, the second death. That's the people going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death in the book of the Revelation. That's what he's talking about. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. So that's the soulish death is what he's talking about. Because proof, we already read it in the 5th chapter of St. John. He was saying, the hour is coming and now is when the dead that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. And, you know, they that have done good unto everlasting life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Then also in the book of Acts, it says there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And so you have to search it all out. In the 11th chapter of Daniel, says many that sleep in the grave shall awaken. So you're in a people that are dead are in a state of unconsciousness. Oh yeah, you ain't gonna miss the alarm clock when God calls. He's gonna call everybody by their name. So when the trump sounds, people are gonna get up. So at that time, so there's gonna be two resurrections: the one of the just, one of the unjust. The dead in Christ, which you hear us talk about, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, that we which are alive should not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to hinder them. It goes on to say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, all simultaneously. Dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and I believe it ends up at the 16th verse. So that's why he was saying, and the same thing he's talking about, you got to put it all together, because Scripture will support Scripture. So the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he was talking about, the resurrection of the dead, you know, how it's sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. It's sown in weakness is raised in power. It's sown in natural body is raised a spiritual body. It's sown in corruption, is raised, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown in dishonor, raised in honor, sown a corruptible and be raised incorruptible. And then he goes on to say this, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. He goes on to say, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the latter several verses before the end of the chapter. So this is talking about the change. So the key is about being in Christ. You got to be baptized into Christ to get in Christ. That's what he's talking about in the 6th chapter of Romans. So you have to go down in the 3rd chapter of St. John. You got to be Acts the 2 and 38, Acts the 8th chapter, Acts the 10th chapter, Acts the 19th chapter. Salvation is in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. After the resurrection, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension, sending back the Holy Ghost, which is the day of Pentecost. That's when they got started being baptized in the name of Jesus. Because he said, thus it behooved Christ in the 24th chapter of St. Luke to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he goes on to say, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. Led them up out as far as Bethany, lift up his hands, stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. So that's why it was sent. You know, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up, going to come in like manner. So he picks it up. Luke is the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So that's why when the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 4, fully come. They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire, or divided. Clothed and divided, self same thing. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit is going to lead you to the water, just like it did the children of Israel. The same water that saved them, read in the 6th chapter of Acts. I mean, the 6th chapter of Romans. The self-same experience. The same water that saved them, the children of Israel destroyed their enemies. That's the same way it is with the baptism. The same water that saves you, destroys your enemies. That's why Peter was talking about in the days of Noah, fewer, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. And then he says, the like figure does also now save us. Then he goes on to say, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him. So you have to put it all together. So God is not the author of confusion. So somebody can't tell you about they can't tell you about something that they have not experienced. And so that's why in the book of Isaiah, that's why the prophet writes so much, 42nd, 43rd, 45th chapter, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that you may, my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. You know, it is I. You know, I don't know of another God. You know, is there a God beside me? I know not of any. So you, a witness had to be there. So God, I believe it's Acts 14 and 17, says he never left himself without witness. Not a witness, but witness. So it's a witness. God has witness in the earth. That's why in the 11th chapter of Romans, that's why the writer says the sound went out in the earth. So that Elijah tried to act like he was the only one left when he was on the run from Jezebel. But God let him know, I got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee under Baal or kissed the image of Baal. So it is even now. The sound is going out. The gospel is being preached. And so you believe. That's what Paul was saying, how he died, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, according to the scriptures, and how he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part has fallen asleep. He's talking about their sleep. They're in the graves. Then he was saying, last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. So that's one of the signs. You had to be chosen. You had to be taught. You were an eyewitness of the Lord, you know, to be an apostle. And you were sent forth. So there are none today. They're all dead. Like I said last week, the last one to die was John. And he lived so he could finish his work that the Lord had him to do. That's why he was said he was in a isle called Patmos for the testimony of the Lord. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So what he saw, being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks, and the Son of Man girded with a golden girdle down to the paps, and his eyes was as a flame of fire. His feet were as fine brass if they were burned in a furnace, and the sound of his voice was as many waters. So he saw him. That's why he said he fell at his feet as dead. In other words, he fainted, as we would say, as dead. So he laid his right hand upon him and said, fear not, I'm the first, I'm the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and look at me, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and of death. So he took them. So the devil had them. That's why in the Hebrew writer says in 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that he might take death out of the hands of him, that is the devil, who are all their lifetime subject to bondage. He didn't take on him the nature of angels, talking about the Son of God, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, which means he took on a human body. So this is what the gospel is all about. So he got the victory. We can have it too. So there's a lot of people like to brag, talking about how long they've been in church and all. A lot of people have done some things that weren't pleasing to God. So nobody can brag. That's why Paul said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8:2, the latter clause. So got to walk the walk, not just you got to walk the walk, not just talk, but walk the walk. So as we go on here, and our time is quickly getting away, but should you desire to call in, you still have time. If you're listening to this broadcast live on August the 2nd, 2011, we began it at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so we do an hour, so we actually have about 12 minutes left in this particular broadcast. So if you're listening to it live, go back to where I just left off when he said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So that's what he was saying too, as I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but when he went to Lazarus' grave, then he was saying that Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it thee. And he let her know that thy brother shall rise again. And so he said, and then she went on to say, this is Martha talking to Jesus in Bethany. Your brother, thy brother shall rise again. I know that he's going to rise at the resurrection of the last day. This is what Martha said to Jesus. St. John 11:25, that's when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So the same thing what he's talking about here. You're not going to die the second death, which is the soulish death. That is the key right there. Nobody in their right mind want to be in a hell hole forever. Be like you're down in sulfur, coughing, fire and brimstone. Ain't nobody, you know, people say and talk a whole lot of crazy stuff. You know, no, you ain't gonna be no party down there. Ain't nobody, you're going to feel your own pain. It ain't going to be no laughing or no joking. be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then the biggest joker there with you, the devil himself, who was the beautiful archangel that the Lord created, and he made himself the devil and Satan. Because he's not Lucifer now. He was beautiful. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, he was anointed cherub that covereth. He set him so. He was in the mountain of God. That's why he was saying, you know, how beautiful he was until the day that iniquity was found in him. Then Isaiah prophesies about it. This is prophetic. Those books, what I'm talking about right now, Ezekiel, then go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou didst, you know, you said in your heart, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll be like the Most High. So, and that's when he cast him out. You're going to be brought down to hell. The writer goes on to say. So nobody in their right mind want to go there. Just like I said, Matthew 25 and 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And people are going to go there too because they want to do their own thing. So then said Jesus unto them, now we know, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. They're talking to Jesus. That devil is a fool. He used people, he'll try to throw off on you. And so, but remember now, that's this foolishness right here that I'm talking about is what's going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Because one lie leads to another. You lying on somebody else, you blaming it on the previous administration, you blaming it on everybody but the man in the mirror that you're looking at. So, but God ain't going to, this is all recorded. This is if you're going to see yourself, like I said to a guy when I was working at General Motors, they used to go up on the roof and open up the windows and let cold air in the wintertime. So I said to a guy, he got mad. He wanted to fight me. He was on the roof. He went up there because he opened those windows because it would be hot depending on what kind of work that you were doing. And so he was saying, and I said to him, I said, was that you up there or was that your ghost? He got mad because it wasn't his ghost. That was him. He opened the windows. So that's the thing. They got all these cameras now, people doing stuff, and they being recorded. So that's God been doing that because he got a book of remembrance. He's God. He knows everything. So he just play it back and show it to you, and it ain't gonna be no joke then. So they said unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see taste of death. See, and that they, you know, hell, a man full of it, the devil, they know how to say things and remember what they want to remember. So art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, and who maketh thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, that was a miracle because he disappeared because he had to get out of there because it wasn't his time yet. And there was another time in the book of Luke when they took up stones to throw at him. They took stones up here. But in the book of Luke, they were going to take him to the brow of the city, which is to a mountain, a high mountain. They were going to throw him out head first over the cliff, as we would say. But he through the midst of them, so went his way. He disappeared because it wasn't his time. So So it's amazing. Every time, when you, and that's what the thing today, what people do, when you get them, they're snared by their own words, they don't have nothing to say, then they want to turn to violence of some kind of way because they know you got them, ain't nothing they could do. Instead of them saying, yeah, you're right, too many people, too many times, they won't do that. So we're going to continue on next time because we only have a few minutes left here. I don't want to get too far in the next chapter, but just like to remind you that you still have time to call in should you desire to call in. We have a few minutes left, and the call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So we have been talking about being free in this 8th chapter of St. John, which is have 59 verses in it. It's an awesome chapter, and what he was dealing with here. So you want to be free. And so the way up is down, which is humble yourself. Nebuchadnezzar found that out. Like Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And he goes on to say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He went on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he goes on to say, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's in 1 Peter, I believe, the 5th chapter. So the thing is, the devil is not a respecter of persons. And that's why he called him the thief. And we'll get there in the next week or so. In St. John, the 10th chapter, when he was saying the thief cometh for nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. So, and also in the Gospels, where they were under the law, like Jesus was saying, every town, every village, every city, because a couple of the writers wrote about it, that's divided against itself, how can it stand? That's why he was saying, if Satan casts out Satan, how then shall his kingdom stand? So that's why he was saying, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? They tried to act like, he was casting out devils by Beelzebub, which is stupid. Ain't no devil ain't going to cast out another devil. He don't want to. That's why them swine went down in the deep and drowned it, because of the word of God. When he told them that the devils asked him, when they went out of that man, could we go into the swine? And so the Lord said one word, go. So they had to go because they were looking for a habitation. They were looking for a dwelling place. So that's why they got in that man. So remember the question that we always ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we will see you on next time. And remember, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. In Christ's stead, as we say, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?